On today's The Wine Club, episode 4, we speak to the OGs of skateboarding collectives in the UK. Skateboarding Scotland, Sam Patterson and Ali Menzies are on The Wine Club to talk about Skateboard Scotland, War of the Thistles, Scotland's skateboarding history and how they grew up there, and many other topics. Please enjoy episode 4.
Who you guys working for?
Who is this?
It's Skatewine.
Oh, beautiful. Did you say Skatewine?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Hello. It's an absolute honour to present to you podcast number 4 with Skateboard Scotland. So first up, we've got Ali. If you just want to give a quick introduction to yourself, Ali.
Hi, I'm Ali Menzies. I'm the Skateboard Scotland chairman. I've been the chairman now for, I've sort of lose track how many years it's been, but it's in the 15 sort of zone, potentially more. I lose track, but certainly for a long time. And we're the governing body of Scottish skateboarding.
How long have you been skating?
How long have I been skating? Since 1988, a long time. And I'm still terrible.
1988, that was when I was born.
Well, there you go.
And Sam, if you want to just introduce yourself too.
Hello, I'm Sam Patterson. I'm Vice Chairman of Skateboard Scotland. I think I've been involved for about 13, 14 years. I live in Edinburgh, as does Ali, and I've been skating since 1987. So,
amazing. And thank you ever so much, both of you, for being on. First question, straight into it. If you're going into a supermarket and you want to describe yourself as a wine bottle on the shelf, what would you describe yourself individually as a wine bottle on the shelf?
That's a tough one. I'm not a big wine drinker. I'd rather have a beer, but I do drink wine. But let's go for a Rioja because it's, I don't know, it's a clever wine.
And Sam?
I'm up against it here.
I'll go for a Pinot Noir, kind of aged, it's a bit rougher in the edges. Multi-layered.
Amazing.
That's better than me.
If you'd just like to say how old you both are, and when you both kind of got into skateboarding.
I am just turned 46 for my sins and started skating in the sort of winter of just Christmas time, 1988. I think I got my first board. So that was, a long time ago. Longer than you've been alive, mate.
And Sam?
So I'm 47. Started skating in 1987. Summer 1987 was the last day of school, got skateboards. Very much the Back to the Future generation. My older brother had a banana board my dad picked up, but we got semi-proper skateboards that summer, and then that Christmas got our first real setup. So, it's been a while.
It's an absolute honour to have both of you on. As someone who's got a Scottish father from Peterhead, I've always had like a kind of close... my first pro skateboard, as if I went pro, my first skateboard that I had that was actually a good one and not out of Argos was a reaction board. And I'm pretty sure we got it from, I'm pretty sure it was Edinburgh, but it could have been Aberdeen. I went into a little skate shop and I remember my dad bought it for me back when reaction was going. So what locations did you both start skateboarding? Because I'm super interested to know how the scene was when you both started.
We both were Bristol Square locals. That's where we met, I guess, all those years ago. I think I started skating there when I was maybe like early teens or like, you know, that sort of age. And spent most of my adolescent youth and probably a bit older than that as well until it got torn down. A student skating there every day for when we could, obviously, Scottish weather permitting, but that was where I skated with Sam back in the day.
When was Bristow seen as a skate spot? Like, from what years was it skated in until, and when was it taken down, and why was it taken down?
I mean, it was built, Sam, you might know the dates better than me, actually.
1983, I think it was built, and skaters were apparently there in about 84, 85.
Straight in.
Just rolling around. I mean, it's mainly flat ground with some blocks and stairs. Not that was getting skated as much back then block-wise, but there was stairs to put sheets of ply up, and building sites were free and easy to get into back then, so there was plenty going on, I think. I started skating in Glasgow. I was born in Glasgow, skated there from 1987. Moved through to Edinburgh in 1993 to study, but mainly because Bristol was there, to be honest. So if you don't know Bristol, it's kind of Scotland's answer to EMB. It's a place you know. It was pretty rad. People went there. Generally, wasn't a bust. you weren't really getting in anyone's way too much. So fairly unique actually in Scottish skate history that you've got a spot like that without any aggro and it's been around that long. But Edinburgh University own half of Edinburgh these days. Their estates are certainly almost, it seems, more important than their actual educational requirements. But they redeveloped it, inverted commas, from it's now a circle, it's still called Bristol Square. So still semi-skatable, but it's skate stopped to death, unfortunately. So there's a bit of a run. Yeah, like the young crew kind of have a running battle with the skate stoppers and things. But currently it's fully skate stopped. But the spring will come and that'll change, I'm sure. So
I hope so. I hope so. And how old were you both when you were skating at Bristow?
Probably from like 12 and till I got shut down, I guess. I'm pretty sure I went to skate the last day before I did get shut down. I've got one of the signs on my wall there that says no skateboarding. We took off the
one. I think I first skated there about 1989. There was someone's parents. We all, about 10 of us, were in the back of a transit van. Their parents were coming through to do some work in Edinburgh. So we came through and had a roll about Edinburgh. But properly started it, you know, when the street skating revolution really hit, the world videos and stuff. I think we maybe came through early 91. When I think my brother was probably the first to get a driving license. So we were able to borrow my mum's car and head on through. And it just became a super regular thing. Quite a few people actually moved through, and eventually I did the same in 93. So we're lucky to have had Bristow.
And you mentioned the Scottish weather. Was there indoor parks back when you were started skateboarding, or was that a thing of imaginary?
No.
I think, again, we were in Glasgow, and there was a ramp called a church, old church called Angel Lights, up in Annieslands, and it was the aftermath of a huge vert comp in the Kelvin Hall in Glasgow that, you know, there was US pros over, pretty random selection like Craig Johnson and Dave Crabb and some kind of old vert rippers over. And that huge vert ramp was then chopped down and put into a church. This was around about the same time that Clan Skates in Glasgow was really kicking off, where I was working with my brother as well, working age 12, you know, the dream. And there was basically a church full of ramps. There was a couple of mini ramps. There was a wee room through the back with street stuff, a rad wee spine ramp. So again, pretty lucky. It only lasted a few years. Street skating killed it. Nobody wanted to skate ramps. Nobody had any money. Everyone wanted to be Matt Hensley and things. So that died off. And then since, there was a huge gap of proper facilities. And if you want to skate indoors, you'd have to get the train to Lancaster, change at Lancaster, go to Barrow and skate the shack at Barrow and Furness, which is, you know, is an indoor skate park, but it was semi-derelict. Was far from clean, with next to no facilities, and I think there was a lot of rough sleeping and things and not eating going on, but Skate Shack, it was amazing, so good memories. But night and day between facilities you get these days.
How are the indoor facilities these days in Scotland?
Pretty decent. We've got a few. Most big cities have kind of got something now. You've got something in Aberdeen, something in Edinburgh, and something in Glasgow, so you're, and a few other scattered around runs, like, so there's a decent enough undercover opportunities now.
It's okay. I mean, property in certain bits is so expensive, it's hard to find space. So there could always be more, as parents often say, but there's certainly more than there used to be, and dry, warm, fairly well maintained. So
both of you being in your 40s, what have you found that's been like an interesting change within the Scottish skateboarding environment between when you first started and now? I mean, obviously skate parks, a lot more skate parks being one of the positives now.
I mean, skate parks is a massive change compared to when we first started skating. If we hadn't had Bristol Square, we would have, you know, I built a few little ramps in my time in various places throughout my life, but generally if it wasn't for Bristol Square, we wouldn't have had any skate. Probably Edinburgh facilities were pretty much non-existent, so Livy was the thing to skate if you could get through, and that was one of the real opportunities. So since then, there's been a lot of massive, you know, growth in skate parks. Something that we've been involved with quite heavily in Skateboard Scotland. You know, we get involved with the sort of funding applications from the Sport Scotland get and help them kind of look at the designs and make sure that they spend money on decent skate parks and not crap ones. So that's one of the reasons that Skateboard Scotland kind of was created way back when, just to make sure that that money got spent properly. So obviously big growth in skate parks, and also I would say most recently, like, the sort of female side of things is blown up recently in terms of a lot more girls getting involved with skating, which is good to see as well. So, and it's obviously just blown up again since COVID and got a lot more busy at the skate parks.
I was just going to say, I think that the acceptance of skateboarding, rightly or wrongly, you know, there's always a nice element you want that you're maybe not as loved as you'd like to be at times, but that always created an edge. But I do think because there's many people who are our age that maybe don't skate anymore, but they've got kids and they kind of get what skateboarding is or was for them. All of a sudden, it's generally a sport whether you like it or not. It's also a lifestyle, and neither's wrong. It's whatever your perception is of it, but that's the big thing that's changed, is that it's not kind of uphill battle. You're not going to a meeting and about a skate park and everyone's assuming it's going to be full of kids tagging it, smoking weed, and causing mayhem. Most people kind of get it now, I think. Not all, but most. So.
So that's a massive change. I mean, remember the Paul Sylvester's quote of, "You used to prefer getting punched in the face for being a skater, but nowadays it's very much like I would when I first started work. I didn't tell folk I skated at work, when you're working in an office, or whatever. But now I'm quite happy to tell people what I do, and I've it's been that for quite a while, actually, to be honest with you. But yeah, it's definitely changed perceptions, as Sam says.
And you've brought it nicely, transitioned it into my next questions, which were going to be, when was Skateboarding Scotland born, and also both of your parts in the organisation?
I was in it from since day one, and the problem with my memory is that, as I said, it's like 16 years ago or something, maybe.
Wow.
I think Sam came in either the second or the second year or third year. I can't remember, Sam, when you joined us, but yeah, I was in the first ever board that was created. There was only six of us, I think, and at that point, I think the guy that started didn't thought he could maybe run a business out of it, but obviously, I wasn't in it for the money. I was in it just to try and make sure that decisions about skateboarding were made by skateboarders, and that we didn't have, I guess, we were represented by someone that cared about where things went. And I guess that's proven kind of pretty good in terms of all Olympic stuff and whatever else. Like, if we didn't have organizations like ourselves, then we wouldn't, like, we'd be in a much worse situation getting managed by folk that don't know anything about skateboarding, which is what we tried to, why we created ourselves.
Yeah, that's super good to hear. It's good to hear that there's still skateboarders in the progress of skateboarding now that it seems there has suddenly been an injection of money now, especially from when you guys started to now. And people might be trying to come in for the wrong reasons. So it's great to hear that there's skaters kind of leading the way with skate park building and everything else in Scotland. So what roles do you both play within Skateboard Scotland?
Well, I'm the chairman. I try and make sure we have meetings now and again. I also sort of help with organising events like War of the Thistles. Sam obviously helps out with that as well. And that's the sort of, I would say, my core role is also dealing with things like bureaucracy and talking to Sport Scotland and trying to get funding for various things and a bit of this and a bit of that. And helping out with looking at skate park designs and things like that as when those come up.
Yeah, Ali does a lot of the connection with Skate GB and stuff, as you said, bureaucracy, the dull stuff, quite frankly. But I mean, I do a lot of jam organising when we do them. We don't do tons of them, but they do take quite a bit of work. Mainly, I think, pretty much exclusively indoor now because the weather. It's just heartbreaking organising a huge jam and then it doesn't happen. But certainly the jams. Social media is something that I do. I think I do most of it nowadays anyway, just the Instagram, the Facebook stuff. Mainly Instagram, and that was definitely a kind of lockdown thing. My brain was full of stuff, and there's loads of good edits coming out, Scottish skaters, loads of good history. So, nice way to try and pull stuff into one place. And there's, I think, a pretty solid archive there, on that Instagram page. And then, just as Ali says, a lot of the skate park query stuff, there's loads of stuff on our website about, from our experiences of getting other parks built, is how to go about it, where to start, almost at every stage. There's probably about 15, 16 currently concrete skate park projects on the go in Scotland, and they get in touch in varying degrees with issues or concerns or just want a bit of backing. And I suppose just our combined knowledge of historical, skateboarding facts, it's really good. A lot of people just get in touch wanting to know stuff, whether it's they're 50 and they can't remember something they used to do in their youth, or they want somewhere for their kid to go and get lessons. We get loads of stuff like that. So just being a kind of Q&A forum for all of that really seems to be well appreciated, I think. So,
How many people are in the Skateboard Scotland collective then?
what the board, you mean? I think there's 12 of us now in terms of the board. So, and we're all sort of elected by the membership in theory, although not many folk turn up to the AGM once a year. We do have one, but there's 12 of us right now, and we've got a few guys that kind of do like specific things, like Rick runs the website and deals with that sort of technical side of things. As Sam says, he does all Instagram things, and the rest of the guys are pretty much helping out with events when we do them, like judging or stuff like that. So, or even we've got bunch of people are sort of scattered around the country. So if there was someone that, you know, wants to talk about a skate park up in Aberdeen, we've got someone up there, and we've Towering up there, and Russ as well. So there's a few people like crossing like the West Coast as well, East Coast, so we can kind of cover off going to skate park meetings and things like that across the whole country.
Everyone is a skater, which probably has its benefits, but maybe has its negatives too. But they all think very similar. It does make life a bit easier.
I'd not thought about the vastness as well. That's really good, because I did a skate trip. I did a trip up in Scotland, and we went from Aberdeen all the way over to Isle of Skye, and it's actually quite a distance to be covering just on yourself. So that's really good that you've got links around the Scottish countryside.
There's a great skate park map on the website, which Rick made. It's very well used, and it will tell you every concrete skate park, I think, in Scotland, with as much information as we can get on it. And there's still huge gaps in that map as well. So some of the work going on, some of these projects will start to fill those, especially in the West Coast and down the borders. So plenty more to do.
That's a good place to go and see where your Scottish skate parks are then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
So something that I did want to cover is there separate funding between you and Skateboard GB then? Do you have separate? Because obviously you've got...
Yeah, we're currently not got any funding for us ourselves. Obviously, like in terms of the sort of pathway to the Olympics and all that sort of stuff, and the talent pathway, whatever you want to call it, that we obviously feed into that. So we run our own like Scottish events, like the Scottish Championships we're doing next month, and then I usually try and take the winners, like the top three from those events, to compete in the sort of UK events in April. So that's something we've been doing to try and, you know, get our sort of Scottish young people coming up through the channels to kind of, so we can see who's like skating the best and try and get them competing against the guys in England. And that's one of the things we try and do, but there's no funding in that. It's like literally I'll just chuck folk in a car and go down and we'll get a hotel room or whatever. So it's pretty much
proper, you know, grassroots.
There's no real funding there, but yeah, exactly, it's like old school, but it doesn't help our competition levels move when we've been sat in a car for 7 hours and the other guys have maybe flown across from America and been there for a week already practicing. But anyway, that's another story. But we had more fun, I'm sure, when we go down to these events.
What is your relationship like with Skateboard GB then, with regards to funding and talent and stuff? Do you pass on who you're seeing in Scotland to the Skateboard GB guys?
Yeah, we usually try and get the people to the events, as I said. Like, that's kind of the best way to get these people seen. I think, you know, we've had good success with like Daisy Buchanan, who's like just competing away, and, you know, right now there's a great example of a Scottish skater that's kind of progressing up through the ranks nicely. And that's the sort of, now that we're like, I guess we've been set up this for years, right? But there's not been as many people trying to sort of do that competitive side of things. There used to be a big scene in the sort of 2000s where everyone would like love to jump in a minibus and drive and go to skate events all around the country. But there wasn't really a sort of competition side of, like, no one wants to win the Olympics. Like, you know what I mean? But I think now there's a kind of growth, like, people want that kind of thing. So we've tried to provide it. And as I said, get people to events. But in terms of funding, yeah, I mean Skateboard GB obviously running that whole pathway thing, right? So we can have people feed into that pathway, and they can eventually get funding from Skateboard GB them directly to do things. But when we are actively trying to get some funding off Sport Scotland, because the way funding works in sport is that you get it from your country level thing. So we would get ours from Sport Scotland, and in England they get this from Sport England. And there's also a sort of UK sport bucket that's for the sort of professional, or whatever you want to call it, the performance sport side of things. So it's all different, but basically we delegate all the sort of bureaucracy side of things to Skateboard GB. They tick all the boxes, they've got all the sort of documents of what we need to do to be proper and whatever else, and keep in line with everything. So, and we kind of, we have one of our board members, Hamish McKnight, he's the sort of GB snowboard coach, so he's obviously been through this exciting thing of taking a sport all the way to the Olympics, and he's lived it and knows exactly how all that stuff works. So he's our representative on the Skateboard GB board, and he's obviously one of our board members too, and he helps us with that kind of that whole pathway stuff, talent pathway.
Nice. And I'm pretty sure it was through your socials that I first saw Daisy, and I followed Daisy, and I was so stoked to see her out in Dubai. How did she do? Do we know how she did in Dubai?
She wasn't in the final, I don't think, based on what I saw in terms of the people on the list for the finals.
It's pretty stiff competition.
The level's so high. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, it definitely gets going stratospheric, isn't it?
Yeah, especially I think the female skateboarding development curve has just gone crazy recently. And especially with Daisy. Like, I was just So happy to see Daisy out there. Have you heard from her at all? Have you heard how she's enjoyed it or
social stuff? I think she's been having a great time, but
you must be melting in the Dubai heat. Mm-hmm. Aberdeen skater in Dubai.
When you both started skateboarding, did you ever think that there would be one, skateboarding in the Olympics, and two, a female Scottish skateboarder representing Great Britain in Dubai?
No.
No
danger. I mean, I think when you saw things like X Games and whatever else, I guess there was, at that point, that's when we probably thought that, yeah, this probably will happen at some point. And I think the skateboarding community is known for a number, probably two decades or so that was coming. And I guess that's one of the reasons that, we created ourselves to make sure that we were ready for that and that someone didn't swoop in, the BRSF swoop in job that tried to be done in England on the back of that whole. Because the way sport sort of governance works in the UK is you've got the Scottish side, you've got the English side, and you need to have the right sort of organisations in each country. And that just, the Skateboard England side of things wasn't quite fully developed yet when the Olympics was kicking off, so that they were a bit slightly behind us in terms of incorporation and whatever else. So that did cause a few problems with other organisations trying to sneak in and pull a fast one and claim they were roller skaters wanting to, run skateboarding or whatever. But thankfully we managed to side shuffle that.
I just think that from my understanding, I don't think Wales has even got a body together. So it was so good. And that's why I was so desperate to get you both on, because it's so good to see that you have this foundation in Scotland that's still going, especially after all that had happened. And like you say, at the moment, you've still not got any funding. And it'd be really great to know eventually if you get funding, especially, is it from Holyrood? Is that your government? But yeah, it'd be really good to see your side of things develop as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were kind of developing with Skateboard GB, right? It's we're all one big country. Right? And the fact that, Daisy's getting to go to these events is a good example of what has been achieved through that whole GB infrastructure that we've kind of created with Skateboard England and stuff. So we've been working with them for years, as when Nick Powley used to be involved and when it was old UKSA days and they were running the sort of UK champs and stuff. So we've always kind of tried to have this feeding people into those kind of UK-wide events. And we did always tell them that you should really be trying to get Skateboard England set up, but they kept sort of claiming themselves to be UK, and it was a bit of that was probably slightly problematic as well in terms of how long it took to get everything off the ground and properly signed off governance wise. But we're there now, so it's all good.
What other riders apart from Daisy have you got? Who else is? I assume you don't have a rider or roaster list, but who else have you got your eyes on in Scotland at the moment? Both female and male.
Sam's a talent scout. Sam. Must have. I mean, there's a whole bunch of kids out there that are.
I can't name names on here. There's a bunch of young guys. I think there's Scotland is probably underachieved in terms of who was successful, given some of the skaters and the talent that was there. But people like having a nice time. Div made his mark in America, but Div's back over here, and Div could have gone further. But I think he's reasonably happy with what he's done and the mark he's made on things. There's still time, Div, if you're watching this. Again, I think there's a lack of facilities has been a big one. Lack of indoor facilities has been huge. But there's lots of young kids. I'm not going to name any names because I'll get in trouble. You look at some of our videos and stuff that we post on Thursday Club, especially the loading bay in Glasgow. There's a bunch of rippers coming through, some heavy stuff. And they need to take it to the streets is the next thing. So it's not just, park skating and impressive. Again, with the indoor parks, you start to see the things build up. There's some rippers in Aberdeen. Inverness has got quite a strong scene, but there's some serious potential in Inverness. I think we've got a bit longer to go. If anything, we're a bit behind, because if you look at some of the guys down south and the technical side of things, I don't think we're quite there yet in terms of that, flipping in, flipping out stuff all the time. But I can see it coming.
That's great to hear. That's so good. And it's funny, I met Div when I was about 13 or 14. I was trying to get on something called Public Skateboards at the time. I think he rode for Earth Skateboards. And that was my first interaction with a Scottish skater. And I was like, wow, this is insane. He was just going around crushing everything. Is Div a part of the Skateboard Scotland at all? Because he makes skate parks, isn't he?
Div.
He's going to build some great building, yeah.
He's working with Youngo building some skate parks, I think, right now, I believe. So yeah, he's not part of Skateboard Scotland, no. Div's not, no. But
he's part of our history because he's, and some of the best skating ever in some of our comps was Div. That one at Eastfield Rides, concrete, if you remember, he just was You might as well just given him the cash at the start of the day. You could tell straight away he was on it. It just was shoulders above when he was on his game. So,
So talented. And what other names have come out of Scotland? It's like John Rattray.
yeah, this. I mean, Colin Kennedy was the first to kind of make a, I suppose, make a name in the States in terms of street skiing. Anyway, and then obviously John as well, who still is up there in the spotlight with this. Mental health work, but before that you had a lot of art skaters. So Jamie Blair, Davy Phillip from Glasgow. Davy was on Foundation, Jamie was on Schmidt Sticks. They spent some time in the States. Then they opened Clan Skates. So there was a strong Foundation Todd Swank connection. Foundation company still going, obviously, with Glasgow. So quite a lot of the Glasgow skaters were on there, moved to the States, etc. But mainly vert skaters. And who else? A guy called Chris Lonergan Noodles. He now lives in Sweden with his family, but he was Scotland's first pro street skater on Bash skateboards, which was a division of Deathbox skateboards. So he had a board out in. He was a ripper. He was out street skating on his own whilst everyone else was skating ramps. He would go in all these street gaps and stuff, by all accounts, and was pioneering street skiing before anyone else was touching it in Scotland. So interesting.
That's hilarious to hear it was the other way around, because when I was younger, everyone was skating street and I was the only one skating ramp.
Yeah,
It was always like, you're the outcast. And so he must have been
yeah,
totally the opposite. Stu Graham. I forgot about Stu Graham.
yeah. He's out there,
Yeah.
still ripping about here and there. I haven't seen him for a while, but
Is he
I think he's
living in
talked about
America
just
now?
moving back. I don't know. He's as far as I know, he's still in Livingston, but I think he's planning to move back to America. As far as I know, I just don't know when he's doing that. He's got an American wife, so he's allowed to, I think.
War of the Thistles, is that something that you guys are a part of?
Yes, we run that. That's a joint effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been running that for, is it 15 years this year, Sam?
I think so,
Lose
yeah.
track. Yeah, I think it might be slightly more. It could be 16 potentially. I lose track. Usually, when the flyer comes out, we remind ourselves of what year it is, how long we've been doing it for. But certainly, a long time. This kind of came on the back of the old War of the Roses events that were happening in sort of Northern England. But on the back of those events, that we were kind of taking minibus loads of folk down to in the 2000s, I think it was probably.
Slovenia, Leeds and stuff.
Yeah, so we really enjoyed those events down there, and there was a bit of money floating around at that point, so we thought, well, why don't we do something up here like that? And kind of cheesy, we kind of nicked the War of the Roses thing and went with War of the Thistles instead, just because we thought, fuck it, we can, let's do it. And the rest is history. It's been going for 15 years or so ever since. So, I basically every year we do a couple of days, one couple of indoor skate parks, usually Aberdeen, and currently, Loading Bay is where we've been doing it the last couple of years, and just basically trying to get as many skaters from around the whole of the UK to turn up and skate and win some cash, throwing tenners for tricks at people, basically. And we also do like sort of some younger kid comps and stuff as well, so people can walk away with some prizes too. But generally, it's just a fun weekend where we try and get everyone to turn up and try and win some cash, and make sure some corporate sponsors give us some cash to give out.
There's not really any judging is the main thing. It's literally, the kids jam and there's a women's jam as well. But anyone can skate in any jam if they want. If you're good and you want to do a kick flip, McTwist in the bowl, doesn't matter who you are, you can get involved and you'll get some cash. So it's and it's just about hype really. So if there's a session killing it on a mini ramp, we're not going to stop that session. We'll just keep it going until it reaches natural end and we'll be a bit later in the bowl kind of thing. So it's super fun to run. And I think parents love it as well. It's just super hyped. They kind of get the energy. It's semi-organized chaos. So
Yeah,
it's
it's
quite
great. There's
good.
usually some sort of crazy shit that happens most year, like some, like, I don't know, was it a couple of years ago? It's like a Ewan Lawson guy, like, threw himself off the bloody roof almost into the ground. Just like, there's always something, like, some sort of thing from the each event that seems to.
Some kind of NBD gets somebody's been storing up for the event. So
It's fun though. You
it,
should
yeah.
definitely come up to it.
I was going to say, definitely try and get up to it if I can afford it this summer. I saw that Eddie, who I've interviewed on the podcast, Eddie and also JFax had been up to the one 2 years ago, and the trophies look amazing. Who makes the trophies?
They've been there for a long time too, those trophies. So basically there's like two halves to like a claymore. They're made by, oh God, Daryl.
Daryl Smith,
Yeah.
a guy called Daryl Smith, who's he lives in New Zealand now, but Dundee skater, incredible kind of wood turner, etc. But he was the first guy I saw anywhere making things out of old boards, and he was making stuff in the late 90s for Livy competitions out of boards and sorting out the plies and stuff. So I think, yeah, I don't know if he pioneered it, but a lot. Scotland's got, about, I think, about 15 trophies around people's living rooms made by Daryl of various different shapes and things. Pretty sick. Yeah. So, yeah, it's right.
Yeah, it's like the Perth horn, and what else is there?
We've got the hammer as well. So.
We've got this Edinburgh kind of hammer. It was actually done for a series that we were doing called the Concrete Slayer series, but ended up becoming the Edinburgh trophy in the end because Stockton was the big sort of outdoor park at that point. So I'm pretty sure my son might win that right now, if I remember correctly.
I think he does, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he won it last year. So it's basically these trophies just get, you know, every year they come out and, you know, whoever gets them out. Every year I need to try and remember who took the two halves of the sword to try and get them back together again for the weekend.
It's actually pretty remarkable.
It was a problem.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable that they still exist and they're in one piece given some of the people that took them home for a year. Yeah. So, yeah.
I actually got to hold the half that Eddie had last year, and I was just amazed at it. I was just like, this has taken so much effort to make like a really good trophy. Yeah. And it has that similarity with the Vert series. The Vert series always have this contest who can make the kind of best trophy. Do you have a list of the War of the Thistles winners over the years?
No chance. I can barely remember who won it last year half the time. And like, I'm having to like remind myself who you gave the sword to and then have to get in touch with them and try and find them and make sure they come back. I think Eddie took away a bit last year, didn't he? Or maybe not actually last year. The year before, yeah, Eddie definitely got a bit of it. So
yes.
Yeah, he's been a stalwart. He's been coming up to the event for a good number of years now. He came up with Tez years ago, and he's been, ever since he's had a driver's license, I'm pretty sure he's come up every year to try and win some money. So
yeah, he's an absolute hero. He brought down my Skateboard Scotland t-shirt that year as well, which is really good of him. And what other events, apart from War of the Thistles, should people know about if they were in or around Scotland or want to come up to Scotland for a skate event?
Well, we're doing the Scottish sort of champs, if you want to call it that, in March, as I mentioned earlier. So we're doing Park and Street, and that'll be at Loading Bay. I think it's the 23rd of March. That might be in my head. I think that's the date.
Again, March. We've not actually advertised that yet, hey, so yeah, we're very good.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be on it at some point. So that's going to be happening. And then, as I said, War of the Thistles in May, first weekend in May. And then we're also doing one of these Survival of the Sickest sort of junior comps. And that's going to be, I think it's November, I think it is. We will be, but yeah. There's obviously going to be other things, the usual sort of events that happen throughout the course of the year that we don't have to run, which is quite good because there's lots of grassroots comps that happen.
Yeah, mainly high summer. There's some kind of traditional outdoor park jams. You know, Dundee, Perth always happens, and quite a few more around the country, with some of the older skaters now getting involved and giving back something and putting on jams, which is rad. So, but yeah, not tons. I mean, the Livy jam is, I think, in the old days, Livy was legendary. I think maybe certainly European wide, if not globally, to a degree. The Livy Fun Party, but I think that just the massive growth of skate parks everywhere kind of killed it off a bit. Just too many places to go and skate. It's been lost its significance a bit, sadly, but those are great days. And Stu did a great job resurrecting it a bit, but it's a lot of work doing these things, especially outdoor, and the council, noise, people, all that stuff, toilets. It's tough work if you're not going to get paid for it.
Health and safety.
Yeah, all that.
Insurance is the worst bit. That's why we don't mess with doing outdoor events anymore, because it's too much like hard work.
Yes, but bureaucracy, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, as you were saying, both of you are obviously super busy with Skateboard Scotland and War of the Thistles. What do you both do career-wise to actually make bread and butter?
We both work for big American corporations, horrifically enough. Different ones, but that's as much as you can say, Sam, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I work for Starbucks, so I've done for 24 years, so that's why. So,
yeah, I won't tell my sister.
Big American bank.
My sister works for Costa. The rivalry, and in between you working professionally, doing Skateboard Scotland stuff, do you still get time to get skateboarding?
Yes, not enough, but yes, I went skateboarding this afternoon briefly at Sam's little park that he built around the corner from him in Portobello. So it was dry for once, and I got managed to set up a new board and go and have a wee skate. So that was quite pleasant, although short.
I was going to say, where do you skate now?
Yeah, I mean, I as Ali said, there's a wee Reed Park in Portobello that I was influenced to a degree, as in my retirement park. But it's small, but it's got fun stuff in it for all age groups, all abilities. But there's a wee indoor park not far away from here, 10-minute drive. We're quite lucky. Ocean Terminal. It's got flat bank, manual pad, carb block. For us old street skaters, it's pretty much perfect. So go there every week, and Glasgow a bit as well. Really street skate properly these days, because it doesn't get any easier as time allows. This summer there might be a few things happening. We'll see. But yeah, definitely once a week, sometimes twice, occasionally more in high summer. So
Usually go for a Thursday session at the Ocean Terminal Park on a Thursday
yeah,
night. A
yeah.
few other old people come out the woodwork for a wee session.
Yeah.
And you're still both skating together after all these years.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
There's a lot of the old Brewster crew that still come and hang out and skate and rip as well. So 30 years passed, but still at it.
Yeah,
That's
it's funny how many of that generation or of our generation of that sort of age, like all our mates, are pretty much still skate, unless
yeah.
they like broke themselves so bad they can't. But they're still got a board and still come out now and again, if not every week.
I've got one question in from Sean Kelly. He said, I'm assuming I know the answer to this one. Do they know the UK Vert Series is heading to the Highland Hideout this year, 2023?
I do know that, and it's the
Right.
8th of July or something, isn't it? And I've got a wedding to go to in bloody England that weekend, so that's me in the picture, I'm afraid. So one of my cousins is getting married, so I'm off the menu for that weekend, unfortunately. It was a shame, because the moment I saw the date, I was like, right, I need to get up there, because I've still not been up there. My son's skated it a few times. I know a few other folk that have skated it, but I've not had the pleasure yet. Not that I can skate Vert, but I'm certainly going to watch.
It's an incredible thing. I mean, we got a message on the socials a while back. It's going to build a vert ramp, and it's pretty much in the middle of nowhere in the Midwest Highlands. Sending through progress reports, he built his own building first, and then built this gigantic 2 foot vert ramp on a one man mission, pretty much by all accounts. It's incredible, and I was learning to skate vert. I mean, it's wild. It's significant biggest achievement in Scottish skateboarding in years. It's wild.
So it's only just been built this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he finished it like last autumn or something. But it's just an incredible one man mission to go, I'm going to build a vert ramp, to build a huge building, and then build a vert ramp.
Is he a skater previously, or is he just built it to learn
He's a
skateboarding?
skater, yeah. I think snowboarder, but
Ah,
was
okay.
always just wanted a vert ramp. And Scotland's got a much like UK actually a mixed history of vert ramps, because they come and they go because people don't skate them enough and they're expensive. They need a lot of space. You need a lot of height, and it's a lot of wood, a lot of expense
Yes.
involved. So. It's bloody hard work, vert skating. So,
Yeah, it's
I'm
gnarly.
doing, yeah.
Is there much
Yeah.
of a vert scene in Scotland? Because I mean, Livy is big, and Div was a huge. Div and Stu Graham were both big ramp transition skaters.
No, there's not. I mean, in the late 80s there was, because that was just what everyone did. Everyone skated vert because there was nothing else really to skate. Street skating wasn't big. But since then, it's come and it's gone. But there's not. I think there's a core of people that would like to see a lot more serious transition with vert, but it's that kind of it's difficult. We need a lot more skaters basically, and then some of those skaters need to get into vert to kind of make it work. We just need a lot more people starting skating, and they will find their niche.
There was a wee sort of resurrection of vert. North Berwick had a wee small vert ramp, so the folk were getting back into them, but then that place shut down, unfortunately.
That was a nice
But
TV vert ramp, had about 4 inches of vert, and it was only about 10 foot high. It felt very forgiving compared to how Oban looks.
is it was that one indoors as well? Yes, I think that was part of the Vert series as well, a couple of years ago.
It was once, yeah. I
It
helped
was,
judge that one, yeah.
amazing skate park, sadly missed.
Yeah, because Jake Anderson absolutely smashed that Vert series. It was
Yeah.
ridiculous seeing the footage come out of
Yeah.
that. And
Yeah.
on the note of social media, how was looking after Skateboard Scotland's social media over lockdown?
It was and it was great for me. I had a great time. I think the atmosphere on Instagram is, pretty much almost everyone's super positive, sending great stuff through. And I've been around a long time, I know a lot of people. And brain is full of stuff, you just think about, I wonder where that's gone. So lockdown, I had a 4-month-old at the time, 5-month-old. So we had time in our hands working from home, and it just gave me time to go digging boxes and boxes of magazines in the basement, an attic full of shit. Just a lot of which is still not even seen the light of day, but a lot of which has now. They're trying to find things that people be stoked on, and having the time to kind of deep dive into the history of a spot. I mean, I wouldn't ever do that again, because some of it was kind of days work to find the right photo. But it was great, and I think there was tons of engagement. Obviously, a lot of folk got into skating in lockdown, because of, you know, the maybe a bit of reminiscing as well, the need for active sport on your own without a rule, without needing a team or, you know, a venue you could go to. You can skate in your garden. So I think that was pretty big. And a lot of it as well was driven by kids sending stuff in and, you know, just reposting it, and they're just surprised you've reposted it. So we do a wee thing called Thursday Club, you know, which is called after Thursday Pub because we always go and meet and skate on a Thursday night. But kids of any ability, or anyone, kids, pensioners, doesn't actually matter. As long as they're on a skateboard and they're having fun, that's the only rule. It doesn't need to be great. It doesn't need to be clean. But if they're having fun, they got a smile on their face, they go in. So that's got a lot of hype, actually. A lot of people seem to be quite stoked on that, and total pain in the ass to put together, quite frankly, but it goes out every few weeks, and yeah, so it's been fun along the shore. I'm just wondering where we go next. Things have definitely quieted down a bit. There's not as many edits coming out. The weather's not been great, but no, it's been a lot of fun. Met a lot of people, newer, younger people I've never met before through it, who I actually can speak to in the flesh when you see them, so it's good.
It's one of the positives, I think, in the social media world with skateboarding, is now I can follow you guys and I can see skateboarding in Scotland, which I don't think would have been so easier back in the day. I think I remember there was a very, is it Focus Skate Shop?
Yeah.
I think that was the only kind of stuff that I was getting when I was 14, 15 from Scotland. And it was so much more difficult to see stuff coming out of like the scenes around the country. Especially from where I came in Biddeford, you weren't seeing, you know, the Southwest skaters, and so it's so much easier and so much more accessible to see the Scottish scene.
Yeah. I mean, there was very little at one point of the Scottish scene. The occasional trip up or the occasional skater went down south, but I think, you know, Panic then Blueprint changed that. Colin, John. So there's a lot of tourists came up here, a lot of spots. You know, McGee was always about filming at good spots, and. They got a lot of footage in Scotland, so made its way across into the States, and of John making it into Formula One and things. So I think, you know, Scotland made its mark in the end.
Finally, Scottish brands. I mentioned Focus. What other Scottish brands now to look out for?
You've got Homework in Glasgow. Kind of they do the boards, they do some clothing. There's nobody massive, but, you know, there's guys, there's Liam down in Ayrshire building his own, making his own, pressing his own boards. There's Scout up in Aberdeen pressing their own boards. There's a wee distro running too. So Garden had a hiatus. They used to be called Harvest, and then they put out some rad edits, but then the pandemic hit and Kieran moved to London. But that's going to get lumbering up again. So they had quite a distinct look to them. There's nothing huge. As with everything, it's, you know, lots of people do stuff, but it doesn't last that long because it's a lot of work for a little reward, and, you know, children and, you know, jobs get in the way. But there's a scene for sure of small companies.
Any final shout outs? I'll round it up here.
So thanks for having us on, and if you're watching from the UK or wherever you are, keep an eye out for War of Thistle's announcements, which will be the first weekend of May, bank holiday. So there'll be something come out soonish about that.
Yeah, Aberdeen and Loading Bay this year. Be there or be square.
I also was meant to ask about your, I went on your website and I was meant to ask about your membership. Do you have to be from Scotland to join Skateboard Scotland membership?
I think you'd probably manage to join if you logged in and put your details in. I'm pretty sure in that. I think the answer is you don't have to live in Scotland to be part of the membership. No.
Perfect. Yeah.
So you're more than welcome to become a member.
I'm going to do it. Amazing. All right. thanks ever so much, guys, for being on. It's been an amazing conversation. And to anyone listening, go and check out Skateboard Scotland. Is it skateboardscotland.com?
Yes, it is. Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah, and Instagram is Skateboard Scotland. Facebook is Skateboard Scotland.
Perfect. All right, thanks ever so much. Have a great evening. Cheers, guys. Hopefully see you at War of the Thistles, hopefully.
You're welcome to go up. There's a space spare room around if you want to need it.
Hero. Actually. In a bit.
Cheers,
evening.
Take care.
Wow, what a fantastic conversation with Ali and Sam. Thank you ever so much for being on the podcast. Go check out the website. Go join the membership scheme. It's so nice that there's committees like that still running just for the pure love of skateboarding, because I know that a number of people were a little bit worried that people like that would stop existing with the Olympics coming in, and it's not. It's so good to see Scotland still got a body of people helping with skate parks and the overall upkeep of skateboarding in Scotland. So thanks so much, Ali and Sam. If you like the podcast, make sure you give it a follow, give it a review. We've got more guests coming up. Like I said, we've got hopefully Tim from Flatsport Magazine, Sean Goth, a number of more guests coming up. So hit that follow button on the old social medias. Thank you ever so much for listening. And thanks again so much to Ali and Sam of Skateboard Scotland. Episode 4, we're out, we're done.
Who are you guys working for?
Who is this?
It's Skate Wine.
Oh, beautiful. Did you say Skate Wine?
Yes, sir.